She'll get me for that later. Welcome to church. I feel like I've done that 5 or 6 times, but hey, you know, nobody will ever say we're not a welcoming congregation, right? Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24. I had planned an entirely different sermon for today. I had planned, for those of you who know, in fact, I had somebody who was planning to come because they needed to hear installment 2 of the last sermon series. And I didn't tell them that the Lord changed the plan, so I was a little worried they was going to come and be disappointed. But they're not here, so they're not going to be disappointed. I had planned to teach you guys the continuation of the fruit of the Spirit. The last time I had the opportunity to preach back in January, I began a sermon series, and Lord willing, we'll get back to it, but Lord did not will that this week. In fact, I felt like it was really appropriate. I had lined up that the first fruit of the Spirit would be love. We would be talking about that in February, you know, the love month. I was all prepped to jump into Corinthians chapter 13. I was all excited about it, you know, researching the different meanings of love. And the Lord woke me up Tuesday night with a dream. And for those of you who know me really well, you know I don't dream. For those of you who know me really well know that when I go to sleep, I'm asleep. You can watch the TV. You can turn the lights on. You can do whatever you want to. Well, don't hit me and tell me you think there's a mouse in the corner. That's a whole different story that happened one time in our last house. There wasn't one, just anyways. But Tuesday night, the Lord gave me a dream about the rapture. And I ain't been thinking about it. I ain't been watching no Left Behind movies or nothing like that. I didn't eat anything out of the normal on Tuesday for supper. And so usually, since I don't dream, when I have a dream, I begin to pay attention. And whenever I began to, I woke up and the dream was very lifelike. It was very real. And that makes me pay attention even more. And then I remembered I'm preaching Sunday. I better pay attention a whole lot. Because sometimes that's how the Lord chooses to speak to me. And so I began to do some research and I began to think and I began to just say, Lord, are you telling me that you want me to change my sermon? Because this other one's going to be really good. I got a lot of things to teach you guys about the fruit of the Spirit. The Lord said, boy, you don't dream. Where do you think that came from? I said, yes, sir. I will start preparing for the rapture. And so I've entitled this sermon, If Tomorrow Never Comes. When I look out at the faces that are looking back at me, some very stoic right now, wondering where in the world I'm headed, I see young faces. I see some not so young. I'm pointing them out. I see new faces. I see faces of people who may not have spent much time in the faith. And I begin to see what the Lord's talking about. You know, I looked at my own life and I said, when was the last time I remember hearing anybody in the church preach about the rapture? I don't remember it. So some of you may be in here going, I got no idea where this rascal's headed. You will by the end of today. In case you didn't know, Jesus is going to come back to this earth one day. Some of you may not have understood that. I believe that some of us think of life, in business, y'all know I spend most of my time in business, but in business we almost always have an exit strategy. And an exit strategy is, when this product line fails, when the market shifts, How will we get out of this business? How will we spend down our production? How will we divest ourselves of the assets that we have acquired to do this business? How will we get out of it? And I think many a human thinks that the exit strategy for life is death. And you know that's mostly right. Statistically speaking, the chances, if you look at all of humanity that has ever existed, it will be a statistically insignificant amount of people that will exit through the rapture. Most people will die. I mean, when I got my first job, my first part-time job, and got my first paycheck, I was a little frustrated with the disconnect between how much money I had earned and how much was in that check. And I remember my father, a man of sage wisdom, who said, "Son, there's two things in life you can count on. That's death and taxes." Well, he's right about them taxes, but that death thing's a little shaky now as time goes on. Most people will die, but you need to know there is another option. If you happen to be breathing at the time when God says it's time, there's a way out, and it's called the rapture. So we don't talk about this a whole lot, and I'll tell you why. Because we sound crazy. And I've been thinking as I've been writing this, I'm like, man, there's a lot of things I'm going to say that just sounds plumb nuts. Don't nobody check me into no hospital. If you believe the Bible, everything I'm going to teach you is in it, okay? There's not going to be an announcement in the church bulletin that says rapture 3 weeks from today. There's not going to be a Facebook event that says interested, going, not going. I'm interested, just not sure if I'm going, right? Okay, anyway, so. There's not going to be any of Tim Steele's crazy video promotions announcing that, you know, the rapture. It's not going to be like that. This event is going to be so sudden and such a surprise and so unannounced. This event is going to rattle the world. This event will come like a thief in the night. So let me, before I get too far into this, let me just give you a synopsis of what the rapture is, so that if you're one of the people in here going, "I ain't never heard none of this mess before in all my life," you don't have to be distracted by that. I'm going to walk you through a couple of things, but let me kind of give you an overview. Okay. So at some point in time, we don't know when, could be this evening, could be before I'm done preaching. If it is, somebody get the key out of my pocket and lock up, because I don't plan to be here. Okay, some of y'all got that. Those of you who didn't laugh, when y'all get the key. There ain't but two on the ring, try them both. You got time. You got 7 years. Oh, sorry. So the rapture of the church is, there is an actual event that's really going to happen on some day that nobody knows about, when there's going to be a lot of ruckus up in the sky, and Jesus is literally going to step out onto the clouds, and he's going to say, "Hey, y'all, come home." And at that point in time, there's a whole bunch of people called Christians. Well, there ain't that many of us anymore. But there's some Christians that's going to jump up, not like jump up, like, "You ain't even going to see us leave, man." Michael Jordan would be like, "Man, I wish I had them kind of ups." Anyways, they just going to up and disappear. And they're going to go meet Jesus up in the sky, and they are done dealing with earth. That's called the rapture of the church. It's that simple. So when I'm teaching you today, and I'm going to try my best to teach, but I got to be honest with you, the more I prepared, the more I felt like the Lord said, "You're going to preach today." Because y'all know I'm a teaching pastor. I'm not a preacher. Today I'm going to be a preacher, I think. As I'm talking about the rapture, that's the event you need to have in your head. All your wildest imaginations about it are cool. That's fine. You know, they're going to be like piles of clothes left behind. I don't know. Are they going to be like planes falling out the sky? I don't know. There's going to be cars running red lights, probably. I don't know. We'll see. You know, well, I won't see. I don't plan to be here. But this event is going to happen, and you need to know about it. The Bible teaches us about it, so we need to teach you about it so that you're aware and so you're prepared. So let's just jump on in. I'm almost 10 minutes into this thing. I got to roll. Our first point, what you need to know is that the rapture is restricted. It is restricted. It is not for everyone. I know in our all-inclusive society, that sounds pretty harsh. Somebody's going to get upset because they're getting left out. I'm sorry about that, but I don't intend to be one of them. The rapture will only be for the church. The full theological name of the event is the rapture of the church. It's not the rapture of the lost. It's not the rapture of the sinner. It's not the rapture of the member of the role. It's the rapture of the church. The church is defined as the body of Christ. The body of Christ is defined as the believers who have given their lives to Jesus. The rapture is a restricted audience. It is for the believer in Christ. This specific event is Christ's return to pull his church out before God's wrath. Now, I got to stop here and tell you. At the rapture, that is like kickoff. In our opinion, that is like kickoff for a seven-year event. And that seven-year event is a tribulation. That's a much more popular word than rapture. You know, not quite as, you don't want to be here. But anyways, we in the Assemblies of God believe that the church, the body of Christ, goes out pre-trib. If you ever hear anyone say pre-trib, pre-tribulation. Now, there are some people that believe in what's called mid-trib. So they believe that you get halfway through the tribulation and then Jesus comes and gets us. And then there's some people who are just depressed who believe in post-trib. I don't know why we'd want to think like that, but they do. And they got their reasons and they back it up with their scriptures. And I mean, I'm not smart enough to debate. That is not in the confines of the message today. I'm just trying to make sure you know about the rapture. But you need to know that there's a pre-trib, mid-trib, and a post-trib. And we're going to teach today from the perspective of pre-trib. Let me tell you, I don't want to be here for none of the trib. Just saying. But anyway, so we believe this is when God's going to come get his, or Jesus is going to come get his church, come get his bride before it gets messy. I'm trying to keep it simple. Let's keep it simple. It's a restricted audience. It is the believer. It is the believer in Jesus. In Matthew 24:37, I'm going, you know what? I done jumped all up into this and ain't read my main text. Caleb, how you let me do that? Let's hit pause and let's read where all this stuff came from to begin with. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 says, therefore, keep watch because you do not know what day your Lord will come. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know what day your Lord will come. If we go back to verse 37, you know, I love to put you guys in context, and I'm just going to tell you that when we're done today, I hope that you go home, and I hope that you open your Bible, and I hope that you spend some time reading Matthew 24 and 25, and I hope you get the full impact of what Jesus, this is Jesus's teaching. These are Jesus's words. Greatest teacher to ever walk the planet. I'm reading his lesson plan here. That's all I'm doing, okay? This is in response. Y'all remember the part of Jesus' life where he's like, yeah, you see this temple, it's going to be torn down. And man, that sets the disciples on a whirlwind. They're like, what? How's the temple? That's going to be torn down. Jesus says, you know, he starts telling them all this stuff, and then they go, well, tell us about the end of the age. When will we know? How will we know when the end of time is coming? So that question is what sparked all of what's coming through 24 and 25. So all of what we're reading, the full context of those chapters, you need to understand are in response to that question. Tell us about the end of time. How will we know? Tell us about the end of time. Okay. So, in verse 37, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. I'm just going to go ahead and read some more. You need to get the rest of this. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus taught that it will be like in the days of Noah. And can I tell you that for most of my life, I understood that to mean all the debauchery, all the horrible things that mankind had become, that that's what it meant. That it meant that at the coming of the Son of Man, that's how the world will be. So I've been kind of looking out for it to get a lot worse. Because I'm thinking, it's pretty bad right now. Really, you can go back and study history. It's been a lot worse than it is right now. But can I tell you that perhaps we should read it in the context of that whole statement? And what I believe it really means is that, like in the days of Noah, the unbeliever, remember there weren't but a handful of believers when Noah was on the earth, and they was all in the boat. They were the only people. The believers were the only people who heard the warning, who heeded the warning, who prepared for the warning, and who were saved. Like in the days of Noah, there will only be a handful of us who hear the warning, who prepare for the warning, who will be saved in the day of calamity. All the rest are running about their merry lives, chasing youth sports all over the country, building businesses, chasing whatever passions and pursuits, giving no thought, giving no consideration that Jesus is legit coming back. Like, you need to understand that. If I don't get anything else through your head today, I want you to understand that we don't know when, but like for real, Jesus is coming back to earth. And he's not going to come back and hold a 3-day seminar and give everybody an opportunity to repent. He's going to come back so fast, you ain't going to know what happened. I'm telling you, I got a stopwatch on my sermon right now, just to make some of y'all feel better. Marianne got a stopwatch on me too. But there ain't no stopwatch that can track how fast it's going to be when we disappear. There ain't going to be no opportunity for, I'm sorry, Lord, take me. Like in the days of Noah, folk going to be running around about their lives, relaxing at the lake. Oh, man, that sounds good. Hey, now, ain't nothing wrong with relaxing at the lake. Ain't nothing wrong with youth sports. Ain't nothing wrong with building business. Ain't nothing wrong with any of that. But let me tell you something. You better keep that in context. All them's is second-tier responsibilities. Responsibility number one, you better be ready to go because Jesus is coming back. You know, I feel guilty. I'm going to have to go home and buy a video online because I'm going to tell you all about the video. You're not going to get to see it, but I'm going to owe these guys $20 because it's their content. It's not my content. It's theirs, but I'll pay them $20 so I can tell you their story. There's these fellas called the Skit Guys, and they do great stuff. I've used their stuff before. You've seen some of their stuff. But they've got this one that I think flies in the face of church culture today, and I'm going to use it because I think that it... We have become a people who are of the opinion that Jesus is about life enhancement. That we give our heart to Jesus because it makes life better. That we submit to the Lord because life will be better, that we will live a better life. You know that works real good here in America, especially in the Bible Belt. But to the Sudan man who was chained to a tree and had his skin and his muscle tissue ripped from his back with 9-inch lineman's pliers because he would not renounce Christ. I got to tell you, I'm not sure he would agree that Jesus is all about life enhancement. You see, what the skit guys say is, they say, you know, what if you got on an airplane and the flight attendant came to you with this big old bulky parachute and said, here, sir, I would like to offer you this parachute. It will make your flight better. Most of us, if we didn't get off the plane, would go, nah, I'm good. Because it's hard to understand how something with so much weight and some restriction and kind of bulky. I mean, y'all been in an airplane bathroom before, right? Imagine wearing a parachute too. Man, horrible. It's hard to see it. It's hard to see the value when you understand it merely as life enhancement. But if that flight attendant came up to you and said, sir, about 28 minutes into this flight, I'm pretty sure we're going to lose engine 2 and 3. And there's a real good chance that this plane's going down. Would you like to wear this parachute? Again, if we didn't get off the plane, most would be like, you betcha. How much is that going to cost me? I will pay you to let me wear that parachute. Because we now understand the value of that parachute. That parachute ain't about life enhancement. That parachute is about saving your life. And guess what? Jesus ain't about life enhancement. He's about saving your sorry soul. I'm not like the kind of guy who wants to push you down in the ground, make you feel like a worm. I'm not that guy. But what I am telling you is you got to recognize, apart from the blood of Jesus, there ain't nothing good in you. There ain't nothing redeemable in you. Apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's no value. You understand that? The audience of the rapture is restricted. What I'm telling you today may be uncomfortable. And what I'm telling you today may even get scary at times. But the reason I'm telling you is because I firmly believe in my heart that Jesus is coming back. And I'm not, we'll get to this in a minute, but I'm not going to tell you the day or the time because I ain't, Bible says nobody knows. But what I'm telling you is that, man, I'm still wrestling with the Lord. Why are you waking me up and telling me to preach about the rapture? Why are you waking me up and telling me to preach about the rapture? I can only figure two things. One, it's about to happen. Number two, don't matter no more. Either it's about to happen or there's somebody in this room that this might be your last shot to get ready to get your flight ticket punched. So you listen and you pay attention. The rapture is only for the church. In several examples in this teaching, Jesus drew a line between those who were included and those who were excluded. This exclusivity, we got to understand it. We got to process it. We got to be okay with it. We can't argue with the Lord about this. This is only for his church. If you're not in his church, you ain't going. So if you want to go, I recommend you be in his church. The pictures that he paints has people in the same places in life. Man, there is so much I want to teach you guys. I'm going to have to leave so much out. I ain't got time. The language that's used here. Again, when you go back and read this, when you see where he talks about those who are taken up with him, that, when you start doing word studying, you understand those who are taken, the word that was used there, it has all the connotation it connotes, get all educated, that I'm gathering together. I'm pulling close that what's precious. It's that sense of wrapping your arms around and squeezing them close. The word that's used for left behind is a word for, it's like, I won't say like rubbish, but it's like these are things that are just trash to the wayside. These are things that are no value. So when you understand, I want you to get that, when that left behind and that taken, when you read those words, they're so much deeper than what our English language would tell you. So when you study, I want you to grab that. I mean, I got to move on. So we know it's a restricted audience. Then two, we know that it's going to be sudden and without warning. Our text comes straight from Jesus' teaching, out of the mouth of Jesus. Now this is Jesus, part of the Trinity. Out of the mouth of Jesus, in verse 36 there, it says that nobody will know when this event's going to take place. Matthew 24:36. This is right before that, in the days of Noah, right? It's right before that. It says, but about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son, but only the Father. If you ever hear somebody setting a date for the rapture, I tell you what you can do with their opinion. It is a useless opinion. Because if Jesus himself doesn't know, what makes us think some stupid man would? I don't believe that God is going to speak to any man and tell him, all right, it's going to be noon on Thursday. If his own son, part of the Trinity, doesn't know, then no man knows. So don't get caught up in date setting. Don't get caught up in trying to figure out when it's going to be. Now, you should not be ignorant of the seasons. The Bible tells us, do not be ignorant of the seasons. The Bible gives us plenty of indications to narrow down the general calendar. And can I tell you that I don't think that I'm going to die? I mean, barring something tragic. I don't believe. Now, this is just me believing. I could be completely wrong about this. You know, Peter, the disciple, believed that he was going into rapture. I believe it too. When I look at the calendar of the events, enough things have happened that there really isn't anything in the way. So I believe that it's soon, very soon. There's not going to be a date on the calendar. There's not going to be any announcement. There's not going to be any warning. There's not going to be a second chance. There's going to be people in the market. There's going to be people in the school. There's going to be people on the golf course. There's going to be people at the grocery store. There's going to be people in the restaurant. It says there'll be two in the field. One will be taken. One will be left behind. So there'll be two grinding at the, millstone. One will be taken. One will be left behind. That means that we're going to be going about our daily business. One will be taken. Now, that doesn't mean we got a 50% conversion rate. You know, it's just kind of an illustration there, you know. I mean, you might be in a room, there might be two taken, there might be 200 left behind, you know. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be unexpected. It's going to be without warning. You're not going to have time to make it right. Just so you know, I'm looking at my time and I'm debating what's fluff and what you need to know, because I'm about to close this thing down. As I close this, I'm worried that if I beat my gums too much, that you guys are going to miss the real call that God has for our hearts today. There's a lot of things I can teach you about the rapture. I've led you to the scripture. I believe that when you read them, you will get the picture. As you read through 25, you know, so in 24, you're going to see, right after our text, so our text was in 42, so as you get into 43, 44, 45, 46, you're going to see Jesus talks about how the Son of Man will come like a thief in the night. He talks about it. He says, you know, if the farmer knew that someone was going to come in and steal his crops, wouldn't he have stayed up all night looking for him? But he didn't. He went to bed. He didn't expect he was coming. He went to bed. If you really believe that the Son of Man is coming any day now, I'm telling you, from a biblical perspective, there is no reason Jesus couldn't come back in the next 2 minutes. You may not believe me, but that don't make it any less true. I'm telling you, that had a good sermon. It was... I don't know if it scares you like it scares me. But Jesus woke me up in the middle of the night to tell me to tell you about the rapture. Let me tell you something. I've been doing some soul searching this week. I've been looking out the window. I've been watching for that thief in the night. I've been debating. Am I going to hear him? Am I going to catch him? And I'm not talking about, I don't want to drive you to a place where you're questioning your salvation and always wondering if you're saved. I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is making sure that when he comes, you get to go. Because let me tell you the other side of that equation. Me and Kelly, my kids always get nervous when I start telling stories about them. They're in this story, but they were practically asleep, so I shouldn't embarrass them. Me and Kelly were on the way home one night. I honestly don't remember where from. I remember it was late at night. And we were driving on Highway 161. If any of you know that area, you know, between here and York, that's our own little version of Big Sky Country. There aren't a whole lot of street lights out there. The stars are bright. We, you know, a lot of pasture and field and stuff like that. So it was, we're driving out, we're headed home. It was kind of a cloudy night. You know, the clouds were moving. And I'm looking out the windshield. And I see this little teeny tiny light way up in the sky. Now, it's bigger than an airplane. So it ain't one of them. But it starts to get bigger. It starts to get bigger. It starts to get bigger. And I'm going to be real honest with y'all. I started getting excited. The kids was asleep. Kelly was sitting there beside me. I can't remember if she was. It was kind of quiet. I think we might have just been listening to music. And I'm thinking, now all this happened in like 2 seconds. So you know how it is. You know, it feels like an eternity, but it's like 2 seconds. And my heart started beating. And I started getting excited. And I thought, tonight's the night. We're going home. This is great. We're with everybody. Nobody has to wonder. You know, the kids are young enough. I'm sure they're going to make it. They're not old enough to have messed up too much, right? You know? Kelly's got it going on. I think this is good. Woo! We're going. And then the cloud moved back over the moon. You talking about a letdown, brother. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, talks about the rapture there as well. And it says that you're supposed to talk about these things not to terrify one another. It doesn't say do it to terrify one. It says that you may encourage one another. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is not life enhancement. I want you to understand that the reason that he had to die was because we were all headed to hell. I want you to know that without that sacrifice, without you accepting it and applying it to your life and submitting to his lordship, you are headed to hell. I don't say that lightly. I don't like saying that. I don't feel good about saying it. But it's a cold, hard fact. That is what the Bible teaches, and that is what I believe. Let me be real focused. Should Jesus step out on the cloud this afternoon and call us home, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you will be left behind. You will still be here. And I don't plan to be. The majority of the people in your life, well, I better be careful I make a statement like that. The people who know the answers won't be here either. So what I'm going to give you an opportunity for today, what I'm going to just lay out there, you need to understand that there's a real event that's coming. There is a, it's like the Super Bowl. It's coming. It's going to happen. We just don't know when. It might be 2,000 more years from now. And when you die, you'll remember this crazy young pastor that thought the rapture was coming Tuesday. I don't know. But it might be before today's over. I was joking with some people before service. I didn't realize that I probably should put more context around my joke. Y'all know I don't wear suits very often. People wondering why I'm wearing a suit. And I said, it might be the last time I ever get to preach. I didn't mean anybody's running me off for nothing. I didn't mean to insinuate any trouble. I merely meant, literally. And can I tell you, there's a twinge of excitement in my heart when I think about it. I was telling Pastor Brad earlier this week about how God woke me up to teach about the rapture. I was telling my friend, I said, can I tell you what's really, like, there's a lot of pressure associated with it. Yes. But to think that the fight might finally be over. To think that by Wednesday I could be at the supper. To think that what we put so much effort into around here. Man, this is just life. This is just the waiting room, y'all. And to think that what if Jesus is coming back today? Man, we're going to be in heaven with Jesus. But only if we're part of his church. In this room, there might be some of y'all who never heard any kind of crazy mess like this. And I hope that I have struck the same fear in some of you younger people that holy preachers struck in me when I was a kid. When you can't find your mom and daddy, the first question you need to wonder is, did the rapture happen? It's a rite of passage. Every kid ought to have that fear. No. I'd be a cruel person if I closed the service without giving someone an opportunity to square things away with Jesus. Now, let me tell y'all how I do altar calls for y'all who don't know. Y'all know there ain't nothing special about me. I promise you, I don't have a bat phone at the house that goes straight to heaven. The Lord doesn't call me and say, all right, Jason, these are the people you got to get this week. I don't have coffee with Jesus every other Tuesday and we run down our list of notes. He really doesn't impart anything special to me. He just shows me things in the scriptures and I get to teach them. That's what I do. So, I'm real happy to come alongside you and pray with you. But I want you to understand that there's nothing special about me. And as I look out at this congregation, there are people sitting in these seats who I lean on for prayer. And so I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to give an invitation. And I don't know if anybody's going to come forward. I don't know if 200 people are going to. I hope not 200. I don't think we've got quite that many people here. But what I don't want to have happen is there'd be about 20 people up here and y'all waiting to pray with me. Because there ain't nothing special about me. So those of you who have your parachute and your ticket punched and you know, if someone comes up here, I want you to understand that for them to come up here, they had to go in their head, wait a minute. There's something. If Jesus came back today, if I don't change something, I'm not going to heaven. I want you to understand that they had that thought and they had the courage to do something about it. And don't you let them hang out here by themselves. You ask the Lord if it's okay. If he gives you permission, you come and you lay a hand and you pray with them. Don't you wait on me. You pray with them. Because this is his altar and those are his people that he spoke to. And you're his children, you're his family, you're his arms outstretched. And we are a loving bunch of people. And anyone who wants to get things straight with Jesus Christ should never have to do it on an island. So, y'all got that? Just a little housekeeping before I give you the invitation of a lifetime. I'm going to ask y'all to bow your heads. I'm going to pray. Because we entering into a place that's outside of my control and my abilities. Father, you know my notes and you know I went way off of them. But Lord, I believe I preached what you wanted said. Father, I believe that your message got out today. Father, I believe with everything that's inside of me that you got an appointment with at least one person here today. God, that there's somebody, maybe 10 or 15 that are sitting here today that you loved enough to wake me up. That you loved enough that you know something's coming that they need to surrender to you. And Father, I ain't going to get in your way. So Lord, I'm asking you to do what only you can do. By the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will put your hand on any part of our lives that is out of alignment with you. Father, that if there's anyone sitting in here today who needs to surrender fully to you, so that when you call us home, they get to come with us. Lord, if there's anybody else in this room that, Lord, you want to prepare a seat at your table for, then, Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be dispatched to speak to them in a way, way better than my words. Lord, I'm going to invite them, and I'm going to trust you to do the rest. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.